great future. We're talking real money.
Welcome to Talking Real Money again. Hi, I'm Don. That's Tom. We're here to talk, well, what? Real money? But first, we have a huge announcement. And I want to start it with a gigantic thank you to all of you who wrote such wonderful things to the CEO of Alphabet about the Talking Real Money video channel that was pulled from YouTube on Friday and reinstated on Wednesday. It's back. It's fully functional. It's got videos at it. I even put up some of our classes. This podcast will go up there on Thursday. Then Thursday's podcast will go up on Friday. We're going to do a few video podcasts. We're going to do a lot of cool stuff for you. So this is a great opportunity now that it's back to go subscribe on YouTube to our YouTube channel.
While it still lasts. You know, I mean,
I think we've been vaccinated against, having, because
I will go ahead and say a couple of things here. Number one, when things like this happen, when big corporations tell you no, because I've been going through this with a big corporation, I basically usually give up. I always just say, I can just get mad and get frustrated and give up. You didn't give up. You went and got people to write. You got people to step up and say what they did was wrong, which was, as far as we know, it was wrong.
Well, they apologized.
All right. I mean, it's just weird. There's nothing in the podcast that we did with Paul that was in any way, what did they say, violent or something? I mean, it's weird anyway.
Inciting violence.
There's nothing in it. So I will say thank you to you, Don. You didn't let me do my little song I've done about you all day, but I'll just say thank you because you hung in there. Thank you to the followers. People wrote the nicest notes, and they CC'd us on many of them, so thank you for that. However, the disappointment is even after all that, I still cannot sell out the studio audience. There's no one in the chair behind
me. No one in the chair.
I keep waiting.
I keep looking over there at that chair going,
sad.
And by the way, how much did that studio chair cost you?
Oh, gosh, let's not go there. A month's salary or something. It's a lot. It's a family heirloom.
Either the upholsterer is way overpaid or you're way underpaid, one or the other.
Something is wrong one way or the other. Beautiful chair.
Thank you all so much for getting our channel back. You did a great job. We appreciate it. Go check it out. Go subscribe. Tell people about it. Thank you. And now that I've accomplished that, I am going to sell all my portfolio and go away for the summer. It's nice knowing all of you. Sell in May and go away.
And going away. Go ahead and play. That's what I say.
No.
Those are all bad. Okay.
I want to ask you a question really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you ever get really great grades for your poetry?
No. I was one of those guys who couldn't draw. I couldn't paint. I never did well in that.
You played soccer.
Yeah, I played soccer, and I didn't even do that very well. I just did it for a long time. That's what I always tell people. I just never.
So you were a jocker, a soccer jock.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So anyway, so what's he talking about? Sell May and go away. He's talking about what has? It's a long held Wall Street ism. It's one of those things that you hear about all the time from people like, oh, well, should I follow that? It's been around forever. Should I sell my stocks and put the money in cash and then buy them again in like November when stocks, will go up again? And the answer to that, of course, is no. But let's talk about the reasons why it's no. Stocks have made more in the wintertime than in the summer. Generally, this is always where the trouble starts. And then I'll just sell out of it. I think, by the way, this goes back to the folks in New York, the brokers, the fund managers, et cetera, that would rather be, somewhere north of New York out of the hot and uncomfortable, Manhattan. That's my take.
We got to get up there to the Catskills for a little burlesque and
some
family
bad jokes.
Fun on the lake.
My jokes might have worked in the Catskills.
They absolutely would have worked.
Anyway, so I think this is where this all comes from. They're kind of lazy. I'll go up in the summer, do something. So this has evolved, and you still see the headline. Should I do this? And the answer, as I just mentioned, is no. And let's talk about why no. First of all, people believe that in a general sense about their lives and certainly about investing, that they see patterns that do not exist. We all think we see these things, whether it's my picture in the cloud. Is that
it's a ducky in the clouds. I don't see a Tom Cock in the clouds ever.
That's frightening for
it's
all.
It's a ducky.
No, people think they see patterns, especially about investing, because how much have we heard lately now with the market at new highs, it has to go down? Well,
right.
It hasn't.
It always will at some point go down.
Sure, absolutely.
And then it will all, or it, I shouldn't say will, it has always gone to new highs.
Exactly. At some point. So anyway, so we think we see these patterns and people, that gives them comfort, right? We all want to think that the future is going to look like the past, and it doesn't. Number two, Mark Hulbert, a guy I think you should trust. He used to write a great newsletter that looked at newsletters. And because newsletters can make all these outrageous claims about being number one, or telling you when to get out of the market in 1987, or the five tech stocks you had to own from 1995 to 1999, whatever it was, Mark actually did the trades and then told the world how it worked out. And by the way, he found out in a general sense, newsletter advice doesn't make you any more than just a buy and hold diversified portfolio over time. But he has looked at the whole idea of sell in May and go away and found that it is not significantly, there's not enough meat there to say statistically significant. You can't do this as a regular trade. He says the 1 year it does work is the third year in presidential terms, which is, I think, a couple of years still away, that over the long haul, that's the one you can say. So I trust Mark. Yes, he points out stocks have, in a general sense, made more in the winter months than in the summer. But remember, if you get out and you miss a big day here or there, and we talked about this on the show before, Don, that if you miss the 10 biggest days of the last decade, you basically make nothing in stocks, nothing. So you don't want to try this. And here, that's the other part of all this. And this truly is market timing, right? It has to be. It is sort of timing out of markets, timing in markets. And we know market timing is a fool's errand. It is something that we all want to do. I always want to sell right at the peak and then buy back in, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know anyone who can do that. So for those reasons, no, I think this is a poor strategy. Your asset allocation should be about you, your need for return, your ability to take risk, and how soon you need to take money out of your portfolio. It has nothing to do with the time of year or the status of stocks or bonds right at this moment, because we don't know what is next.
Darn it. Darn it. So really, I should just stay invested.
You would think so, and apparently the guy behind me just ran off to somewhere to buy more stock. So
can I still go away?
You can go away. In fact, I recommend that for a guy in Central Florida. Maybe you should go away somewhere way.
Actually, yeah, that is the plan. Just hoping we can actually make that plan happen in the next few weeks.
Good luck.
Well, we want you to know that we love taking your questions. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. Or you can go to talkingrealmoney.com, record them there on the little mic button, or type them in just like this. Here's a quick question for you. The subject, Tom?
Yes.
$100 million deli.
I already know the answer.
All right, good. You guys had a lot of fun.
Those better be some really good sandwiches.
you guys had a lot of fun with the GameStop stock kerfuffle. Yeah. Kerfuffle. Ooh, I love the word kerfuffle.
That's one of your favorite words.
I adore kerfuffle. It's one of my favorites. Have you been following the Hometown International story? Oh, gosh, yes. You know Hometown International, Tom?
Of course I do. They have one deli that had $30,000 of revenue, and the stock is worth $100 million one day. I don't know what it was worth the next day, so probably a lot less.
I should probably look that up.
It probably went down a whole bunch after the story became more public, is my guess.
Well, I'm going to check. Hometown Internet. I don't know what its symbol is, so I'm going to actually have to type it in to get the symbol, because that's not one of the symbols I've memorized. Oh, the symbol is HWIN. And by the way, it trades on the pink sheets.
Yeah, which is not an area we recommend you run off and put your retirement savings in.
sort of a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Really, sort of a dead giveaway. It is still no. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I got to tell you, there are some real, real stupid people out there. You know who you are, I hope, because if you own this stock, you're one of them. Market capitalization of Hometown International as of this moment, Tom, $99.8 million.
So those are some really great deli sandwiches, and I hope you get a pickle with them.
$12.80 per share is the current price. That's up. And what is hysterical about this stock is that, let's see, let's go back. Let's go back to when they actually started, which was in, oh, golly. They started back in 2019, and they came out at $1 a share. And they hung in there right around that for quite some time. And then just recently, in 2021 or 2020, somebody caught hold of this thing, and it started spiking up. In April, it was $3.75. By July, it was $9. Then by the end of the year, it was $10. It got way up to 14 and a half bucks a share, but now it's still sitting around $12 a share. And this company makes essentially no money. And they have no prospects for ever being worth $100 million.
Are they going to buy Mike Subs? Are they going to buy Subway? Are they going
to
buy?
They actually have. Jimmy they John's? Have the. They have the equity to go out and buy up some other companies. I am surprised that the folks in who started this company. I'd be really surprised if they haven't already sold out of a bunch of their stock at these prices, because they've got to know this is way too good to be true.
And again, this is still they still own one deli, correct?
One deli
in New
right.
Jersey.
Right.
That had a very small amount of revenue. I mean, this is purely a speculation, not unlike Bitcoin at all, where you're just looking for the greater fool that will say, yeah, I'll pay $15 a share for that because I love a ham and cheese. I mean, that really makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it, and it is it's a little tiny. Little tiny operation. It's not even a storefront. They lease their space. So it's a shell company.
Yeah.
And it's a shell company. It has basically a shell company is a company with little or no actual profit making operations. And it only makes sense. No offense, but you guys in Jersey, you know who you are. It just makes sense that it comes out of New Jersey because that is the ripoff penny stock. It has been the penny stock ripoff capital of the world.
Has that nice river between that and New York that apparently works in terms of securities
really well.
Regulation, some kind.
So, thanks for that question. We think this is hysterical. It
no,
would really
I don't
be
think,
funny if people weren't losing money on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I don't think, I mean, it's hysterical at one level, but at another, please do not invest in this. We are not recommending ever that you own individual stocks. We would never, ever, ever put you on the pink sheets. And this, again, is just a purely silly, speculative purchase that people have just decided, I'll game it, I guess. I have no other reason.
They're doing it. It has got to be on that Reddit thing again, where people just do whatever the idiot Redditors tell them to do. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. And given the fact that we're both at a loss, we're going to get the heck out of here and end this podcast. We'll have another one for you tomorrow, as always. And of course, tomorrow's will also be available as a video. So check it out at our reincarnated YouTube channel. Went away, was dead, came back, we're happy. Go check it out, go subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review at Apple Podcasts if you like what you hear. If you hate us, just call us and tell us. And you can do that at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Isn't it more fun to insult someone right to their ear anyway? So if you hate us, call us. And thanks for being there. We really appreciate it. That's Tom. I'm Don. Talking Real Money.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately, consistently predict the future. So, past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.